breaking news into NFL Network, and this is major breaking news. Mike Garofolo is the first with it. Tell the country what you know, Mike.
It is done. Odell Beckham traded from the New York Giants to the Cleveland Browns. We are still working out to working to figure out the final details on this one. But Beckham is gone, and John Dorsey is all in right now to build this thing around Baker Mayfield. He has got his number one wide receiver and a buddy of Jarvis Landry, I might add. So let's check Landry's Twitter account.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports coming to you out of Atlanta, recorded at Dead End Studios here in Atlanta. A lot has happened, you know, in the NFL and the NBA, so we got a lot to cover this week. Before we get into all that, thank you guys for subscribing. Be sure to share the show with others and, you know, let people know that you hear some of these takes here first.
Is that a diss to somebody?
I can't prove it, but, you know, it seems very circumstantial that some of this stuff happens after the fact. But, you know, it is what it is. So we appreciate you guys listening, man. Joining me as usual, I'm Kenneth Mianz. Joining me as usual is FIFO 24/7, BZFO 13.
What up, though?
And Mr. Disrespect of the No Disrespect Podcast.
I feel like I just got, my team's got disrespect. We'll get into it, though.
Yeah, we will. So as always, like I said, make sure you guys subscribe to the show. And you can check out all the rest of our shows on deadendpodcast.com. It's the Mike Stallone Podcast. We know Dead End Hip Hop, Dead End Gaming, you know, all of that stuff. So, yeah, just go there. Anything you want to hear, you know, we'll be there. And if nothing's there, then let us know. We'll, you know, maybe get a chance to put that together sometime in the future. But shout out to everybody watching us on Facebook, too. We be seeing y'all, man. I'm going to try to get in the comments and respond to what you guys are doing. But anyway, I think that's everything. So while we were recording Dead End Gaming, our phone was going off. And I looked, I saw, 8 text messages or something. What the hell going on? And then in the Discord, I saw it pop up, Odell Beckham traded to the Browns. And what's interesting about this was that the rumors have been out there for a while, but I was like, It seems, why would you trade Odell? You just paid him.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's what the GM, Pat
Shermer,
said. He said, why are we going to pay him to just trade him?
Right. Yeah, you got Barkley, you got a wide receiver, running back, dynamic combo. You just needed the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Eli is kind of on the decline. But, you know, he's still OG, you know. So you got weapons. Now he's gone to the Browns to play with Baker Mayfield. So here is what they traded away to get him.
Is it all solidified yet? I don't know if it... They could still
I think it's official.
Yeah. I think it's legit. I don't think the terms of the trade.
That's what I mean. The terms of the trade. It's like who gets what.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
because you know sometimes it's a little fluid, but I don't think much is going to change from what was reported already.
So the Giants are reportedly receiving a first round pick in this year's draft, which is number 17th overall. The Browns' third round pick this year, and Jabril Peppers. Mm-hmm. If you guys have been listening to the show, you guys know that Mr. Disrespect is a Giants fan.
And nothing has been going my way.
The floor is yours.
How
yours,
you feel
sir.
About this, man?
Once the whole Jay Glazer situation happened, you kind of feel like something is going to happen.
What do you mean, Jay Glazer?
When he had that rumor, like he was like, when someone,
mail
thing. This is where this all started. I mean, this is not where this is all started, but that for this year.
He was the first one to say,
like, when someone asked him, what's the most surprising trade that will happen this season, this offseason, he said, Odell. A lot of people got in his ass about that, and apparently he's been right this whole time. I don't know if he was just sitting on a story, and then like he just wanted to add some coal, some fire to it just before it blows up, and he could be the first one, or he was just really just shooting the shit. But going into this offseason, the Giants had a lot of holes to fill. But I was also curious looking at who they would keep as well. Like, they let Landon Collins go, their, you know, Pro Bowl safety, who just signed with the Washington, the Skins, for, like, a big contract. I was cool with that because at the end of the day, the last couple of years, we only won, what, like, five games, six games, whatever. So I was cool with that. But then you start seeing all these trades happen with the defense that they bought in 2016. And then you heard, like, the Wingland was talking about getting OGJ. Like, they was calling him up. So you kind of feel like they're in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. But they're not saying it because Eli's still there. So Eli, for me, it's like you're not really in a rebuild until you let that a person of that elk go.
Of course.
Like,
yeah, because he's like the last domino. He's the last string that holding on to the Mike Tomlin, not Mike Tomlin,
Tom
Mike
Coughlin.
Coughlin era. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The whole Michael Strahan era. Yeah. Like, he Plexico. He's tied to all of that.
The highlights.
Beating the Patriots twice, he's tied to all of that. So I understand what you're saying just from an organizational standpoint. He still has that cloud over him. So once you sever that tie, it's a brand new franchise.
Exactly. That's when I'm like, okay, now if you traded like half the squad, it's cool. But when he's still there, you feel like, all right,
they're still trying to compete, holding on to something.
They want to win now. Now, when I saw this trade happen, first I didn't believe it. I thought he was just trying to get me up, you know, hot. But then I'm seeing all this stuff and I'm seeing the breakdown and I'm like, you know what? As much as I hate to see Odell go, that's actually a nice haul for Odell. When you got Amari Cooper going for a first round, AB ain't even get a first round. You know what I'm saying? Third and fifth. And he's number one at the position right now. That's a nice haul. And especially in a defensive heavy draft, an offensive line friendly draft as well.
You got two high first round picks.
Two top 20 picks.
Yep. And you got a third round this year.
We got an extra third round this year. And you get a solid player. You can trade them. You can move them, whatever you want. To me, it's just like, if we don't get Dwayne Haskins or if we don't get some... I just want Dwayne Haskins at this point. Like, that's the only reason why
that's what I want right now.
But I've heard reports that they're not even looking at a QB.
Wow.
They're not looking at Dwayne. They ain't looking at... And I just watched an interview he did with... what's his name? Mooch. From the NFL Network, where they sat down and they had to get, and he was like, he put on the Giants over there, and I'm like, man, can we just call it, can the draft happen tomorrow? I just want this to be over with. Like, it's like waiting to get you asked to the prom by the girl that you want. Like, you just waiting for that moment. But it's just like, everything has to me, everything has to align with us transitioning to the next, because Eli about to be what,
30?
80? Yeah, like, and granted, we did get some. We got Kevin Zeitler with Cleveland. So we've been talking with Cleveland all week because we did a trade with them earlier because we just traded Olivier Vernon to them to get their offensive lineman Kevin Zeitler, who was with Cincinnati. So he's like top. I think he's top 10 at his position. So like he's really good, and I'm thinking, okay, that's gonna help with Saquon. Gonna get a quarterback for to back up Eli, or maybe even take over midseason. We got Odell, so that's gonna help. You know, everything was lining up. And now I'm seeing them let go of Dale. We did. I think they said Jarvis Lynn. Is he still?
He's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Is he not a part? I thought they was trading him as far as that, too. It's just,
Maybe, you know, in the next day or so or in the draft. But as
Because that was the first thing I saw when you texted Chet. Like, it was like Jarvis Landry was a part of that deal. If he's not, if he is, that's even better. If he's not, then I'm still worried about who's your number one. Is it Sterling Shep that you're going with number one on the roster? That's questionable, but if it's a rebuild, then you're going to plan to lose anyway. I'm all over the place right now.
Wow. So, I'm on Bleacher Report, because this just happened.
Yeah, literally.
So, we all reacting.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just reacting. I'm ranting right now, because I don't know what to think.
We're going to talk about Antonio Brown next. The conversation has been about them carrying 20 mil, 21 mil in dead space. The Giants got 16 mil that they're going to carry because of this trade.
Who?
The Giants. Oh. So Dan Graziano tweeted, the Giants would carry a $16 million dead money charge on their salary cap for Odell this year. That is something. We're in a day and age where we're seeing companies willing to eat money to move players.
That's crazy.
They eat Olivier's $8 million contract, too.
So, it's a lot to break down, but could this be the Giants looking ahead and saying, we're going to get rid of him now before he show up to the facility with the blonde mustache?
before the drama.
He already got paid though, and he got paid handsomely.
I understand.
Yeah, but that emboldens you too. You know what I'm saying? So I can kind of see
wasn't,
that
he wasn't an issue this year.
That's the other part that's made this extremely shocking, that they were moving because he's been clean. He hasn't been a problem.
He hasn't been an issue like an AB issue.
Exactly. The lights have not been on OBJ for the wrong reasons this season.
Right.
Right. And the thing is that depending on who you listen to, they say that OBJ is, you know, I think all of the great runs have to rub organizations the wrong way just a little bit. Because you demand and expect such a high level of performance that when it does not happen, somebody got to answer to that. And I think that all of the greats have that. And in football, it doesn't matter the position. It doesn't matter if you a Hall of Fame safety. Like you can't tell me that Ed Reed in that locker room that had the Terrell Suggs of the world, that had the Ray Lewis's of the world, that had all of these guys, that Ed Reed sometimes ain't had to call out certain people, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or had to make it be known what his expectations were. You know what I'm saying? And I think that sometimes depending on who's reporting what, they put a spin on it where it's a negative thing. That's not always negative. Like, was it negative Jordan punching Steve Kerr in the face? Was that negative?
For Steve.
But, you know, what Jordan felt he had to do, he had to do.
I think this move is more about ever since the kicking net thing or whatever? Yeah. I think they've been trying to move on since then.
I think
they've been trying to move on since, based on now.
Really?
They've been trying to move on since then.
Well, Cam might be onto something now.
Because I think they didn't want to pay him, but they had no reason not to.
They were reluctantly paying him.
Yeah.
And then think about it. When they didn't want to pay him, who paid him and gave him the biggest shoe contract? Nike. You know, so it's kind of like they had to at the time because he was going to get it regardless. That's just what the market bared for him. Mm-hmm. So he was going to get it whether he stayed or he left. So I understand that. I don't understand signing him and then trading him.
Well, I think you sign him just for the fact that at the moment they didn't have a better offer. No one gave him a great offer. And the Odell offer.
And people wanted to see him coming off of an injury.
Yeah. And with that, too. Yep. So then it's like, okay, and you can't just have him just...
Yeah, because you talk about for a speedster, a broken ankle.
And even if they did franchise him or whatever, nobody was going to try to sign him after a franchise. Because then he's going to be asking, I'm going to need 100. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? He's going to be asking for a lot. Mm-hmm. So now that we're actually talking about it, it makes sense for all the moves they made.
Yeah, but here's the thing. We're looking at this solely from the Giants' perspective. Can we look at this from the Browns' perspective?
Oh, the Browns are loaded.
Oh, my God. They are loaded. But you're talking about they just signed Kareem Hunt, right? And we know the
still
type of...
You still got my man from Georgia, Chubb. You still got
You know what I'm saying? So
Landry Odell.
They got a...
Tight end. What's the tight end?
David Njoku.
Yeah, Njoku.
Yeah, Njoku.
He big as shit, but that man's big.
That's a superhero right there.
It is. He look like
that's a superhero right there.
Bruh.
And you got Baker or do you know?
Baker. We know that he could play. We're not saying that he's top five, but we know on a good day he can play like a top five.
You know his ass somewhere around dancing right now.
Baker dancing.
So here's what they got. They got Baker, Nick Chubb / Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and Antonio Callaway.
Yes,
who can play.
I forgot about him.
And Njoku. That man.
And then on the defensive end, they got Myles Garrett. They got
They got talent over there.
They got the corner. Yeah, they got the corner.
I can't think of his name.
They got other people. They got Jamie Collins still, right? From the Pats. I think they still might have him. But they still have a lot of talent on it. That defense held the Saints to 10 points or 12 points at one point in the season. Like, I know Greg Williams is gone, but
hey,
to me, the two biggest things with the Browns, the offensive line, and can Kitchens cook? Can Kitchens be the head chef?
Yeah, he need to be the head chef. But in terms of the O-line, when you have so much weaponry everywhere,
only because they
it helps the O-line.
Only because they lost Zeitler. That's
I feel you. But here's the thing, though. Like, even if the O-line is not great at either blocking or pass blocking or run blocking, because you have so many things, I think it's on the offensive coordinator, the O-line, and the head coach to create plays and lanes. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have the individual talent on the O-line, because you have so many weapons, you can confuse a defense, bro. And you can help your O-line to mask some of their weaknesses.
I agree. And then on top of that, they're in the AFC North.
Exactly.
So they probably have outside of Pittsburgh, they probably have the best line in their division.
But Pittsburgh just lost AB. They're about to lose Bell.
I'm talking about the line. I'm just talking about the offensive line.
Who are you competing with?
Of course. And then also Baltimore had the best defense, but they let damn near everybody go.
Yeah, they let
to me, I was more surprised they let CJ go because he's probably the best linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably top three linebacker. Because what he signed? He signed with the Jets for like $85 million. They let Suggs go to Arizona, and they let a couple other people go. So right now, I was saying this even before all these moves made, but the end of the season, that Baker was the best quarterback in the division, in my opinion, moving forward. And now it seems like the Browns are prime. It's between them and New England for the AFC. Them, New England, and Kansas City.
Yep.
Damn, already?
I think so. You can't name all that. And Baker's proof. To me, I don't worry about Baker.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him.
He can make anything happen. To me, it's all about head coach and the offensive line. Can the offensive line hold up to playoff teams, and can the head coach these boys to the promised land?
Because I think at a minimum, right, just to hold people's feet to the fire, when you have that amount of talent offensively, you got to score 28+. If you don't average 28 a game with that, that's a problem.
Aaron Leggett on a live Facebook feed said the Browns' O-line was top five in the league over the last five games. Said Mayfield.
And they only lost one person.
That was a big always because the Bengals lost Andrew Whitworth, and that showed the next season. So that's why I'm saying, like, I want to see all granted, they have a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of everything. And I may be just, you know, talking in the wind right now, but we still got to see it, you know, happen.
Oh, of course.
But, right now, I want to play with them on Madden right now.
Exactly. we got to see what the suit tastes like. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what that suit tastes like. But at the end of the day.
You got OBJ and Jarvis Landry on the both.
They used to be room teammates.
They was out here. They've been boys.
I'm pretty sure they're happy too.
I don't know how LSU wasn't that good when they never
really had a quarterback, and I understand that, but jeez.
The SEC don't have quarterbacks, though.
They don't.
But LSU were really, really bad at that.
But I'm just saying, like, when was the last good college quarterback in the SEC or Big Ten?
But you didn't watch the LSU. Them boys were terrible. But yeah, so now it's coming out that Beckham is trying to seek, of course, a restructured contract. He is guaranteed $16.7 million, but all of that is in the 2019 season. So it's 5 years.
You want to move all that money up.
You seeing what happened with Brown, so you with the Browns, now you be like, okay,
but at least he got paid. Brown, I didn't realize Brown didn't even get paid till recently.
Yeah.
Like, he's been balling for that long, and it's been, like, the last 2-3 years is when he got paid.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, man. So, I'm sure, like, this is all new. This is all breaking. So, we'll start to hear the real truth as this comes out, because it's been a lot of untruths, you know, from the Giants. And a lot of people by saying that they weren't going to move him.
The one thing I did say, I read from Jay Glazer, he was like, because this is the fan. I look at the Athletic Daily, and during the weekly fan mail, he was like, one of the people asked him, like, how closely should we look at these draft trades or just draft rumors that we're hearing about now? He was like, to be honest, pay about 3-5%. Attention to that, because everything could change in the next week, the next month. Like, we're so far away from the draft still that none of this could, like, all the reports you're hearing about now, Kyler Murray could be going number 15 by the time we draft. Yep. So,
true.
But as far as the reason why I mentioned that is because I'm trying to give myself hope that the Giants get Dwayne Haskins. Because to me, that's what was the that would be the cherry on top of this Odell trade. Because, like, you got a nice haul. To be honest,
but why would they now?
Because
you got the additional picks.
They need to.
Because you got additional picks where you can shore up the offensive line, get some defensive help. You can
Have your cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
You can have your cake
and eat it. And David Gettleman was the one who talked about I like the Kansas City model they did for Patrick Mahomes.
So you're really drafting for the future. You get rid of Odell. Barkley is our guy.
Because you get both. You get the best of both worlds. They got a good line, or they're starting to get a good line now. You got Barkley. So right now, I think the majority of those playoff teams, they had a running game. They were like top 10 in running and rushing. So you have a running game. You got a MVP proven QB still. And I think if you give him time, he got one season left. I ain't saying he got more than that. He may not even have one season, but I think you could squeeze one more season out of Eli if everything's right. My only concern is what's the weapons like now with OBJ gone.
With Shepard be the guy now, right? Wide receiver.
But yeah, Shepard, average at best.
That's what I'm saying.
He ain't average at best. Don't sleep on. He was balling in Oklahoma. And he's still balling now.
Oklahoma. We talking about the NFL.
I'm just saying,
to be slick.
No, I'm just saying he was a proven commodity for a reason. But we drafted him second round for a reason. I just think that. You can get the QB, have him sit behind Eli, and then move into next season with some sense of comfort that we got. We have some sense of direction. Because right now, even though you got all this draft haul, it's like, damn, nigga, you still got Eli in the back. Like, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Who won the trade?
It's too early to tell right now.
Shit, Cleveland.
Look what they upgrade.
Exactly. And I don't even care who the hell the Giants draft, right? Unless you draft a damn Khalil Mack or somebody like that that has OBJ level talent, Cleveland won it because you just added to the stable of talent that you have. And you could arguably say, as talented as they were, you just got the most talented player on that roster.
I only say it's too early to tell because the season is a long ways to go. Injuries will play a factor. So right now,
did you say that when you saw the AB trade?
I didn't give a damn about the AB trade.
But did you have a wait and see approach when you saw that one?
Before the trade, or like now that he's with the Raiders?
Yeah, once he got traded to the Raiders.
Nah, because I mean they're not a playoff team.
So you can't grade this one yet. Why are you trying to be
these are two totally different situations, kid.
We're grading the transactions between two teams. I'm asking the reason why I asked about Brown is that when you saw that trade, your thought could have been, man,
Oakland won that trade.
Okay, so Oakland won that trade. Say that about that. It's the transaction
because it's very.
Browns won a trade.
Browns won the trade. If you want me to say it. Browns. They always say whoever gets the best player won the trade.
But
this is football. Football is. I won't look at it basketball.
But again, unless the Giants draft a Khalil Mack, game changing player, the Cleveland Browns handily won this trade. Handily. And I don't know if there's a guy in this draft that's going to be that. Now, again, this is football. We never know. Sometimes guys are really good in college, and then they come out, and it's like, holy crap, what was all of this?
Yeah.
Right? Because now you're playing at an elevated level. Now you got people that are around you playing even better. It just elevates you. Sometimes that happens. But as right now, today, as it just happened, how do we grade it? To me, Cleveland won it.
Cleveland definitely won.
If you want me to force an answer, yeah, Cleveland won. But I still say wait and see for when the season starts. We'll see how everything falls. And all I know is if I'm a Browns fan right now, this is y'all probably feel like y'all already won the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah,
because this is the brightest days I ever seen in my life.
Because you're talking about from just a competitive standpoint. They've never been more competitive since the Jim Brown days. Let's be 100% honest.
This remind me, what was his name? The running back who was on Madden cover because he had that one.
Oh, Peyton Hillis.
Peyton Hillis. That's crazy. He literally disappeared.
He was gone the next day.
Everybody's saying the Browns in the chat. So the Giants, $32.5 million of dead money they're gonna have.
That's only one season, though.
I know it's in 2000.
I'm cool with dead money if it's more, if it's about the future.
Yeah.
Because, like, right now, we wasn't winning. We didn't win.
You wasn't going to win anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the 49ers got D4 from the Chiefs.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Chiefs, Chiefs already had his bags packed when they got back. Mm-hmm.
So, the 49ers are sending a 2020 second round pick to the Chiefs for D4. So, yeah, that's not bad. Not bad. Odell,
good for both sides.
Here's Odell's comments on the trade. He says, at this point, I have no idea what to think. I'm trying to process it right now. Leaving New York is bittersweet, but it is what it is. It's life. Which Gabe put, just popped another question, because Odell is a basketball player in the NFL, is how people say it. Like, he is a star. You know,
the most recognizable person without the helmet
is
on.
Is he the... He's the Drake of the NFL, right?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
And as far as going back to y'all conversation, is he, like, the most recognizable wide receiver?
Yeah. In today's game.
Could he go down as the one of the most recognizable wide receivers ever?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. Yeah. Like, today.
Yeah.
Right now, if he retired.
There hasn't been anybody that transcended the sport of football like he has.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
He just resonates with the kids and everything.
I didn't know if I was just reaching on that.
Yeah. I'm talking about in terms of popularity.
Because I was going to say, on the field, hold on, Randy transcended a lot. Everybody, because his name became a verb. Shit. Like, bro, that's, if you're talking transcendent on the field, but then when you said everything, because then you think about the social media, the dancing, all of that.
The only two people is Randy and Chad.
Odell is LeBron.
He is.
And,
like, everybody wants to talk about him. He's mad interesting. Everybody watches moves. Yeah. So he's in New York, right? But now you're going to Cleveland. It's not the same,
but he's still going to be box office.
Still
going to
have those deals? Yeah, or you're going to be box office? Like, you lose LeBron and now you get Odell?
Yeah, no. And here's the reason why it doesn't matter that he's going from New York to Cleveland. It's because, obviously, LeBron set the precedent, right? Okay. Obviously, winning that championship. Cleveland right now is presently constructed, has as good of a chance as the Cleveland Cavs did years ago when they won the championship.
Expectations?
They have champions. You have to.
Well, I was going to say, I think because he already built his brand in New York, he's good wherever
he
goes. He's going to go wherever he goes.
And let's be honest, right? Ever since Odell was with the Giants, have they been a real championship contender?
No.
Cleveland Brown today, they are a championship contender. Because look, we just talked about it. Cincinnati is what?
Is washed.
Who did y'all get? Y'all got a lineman?
You know what I'm saying?
Leave him alone, man.
Cincinnati is washed. Pittsburgh is lost AB. They're going to lose Bell,
Pittsburgh
too.
Pittsburgh is lost.
They're just lost.
They're lost right now.
And where's Bell going to be?
They're not lost.
Come on.
We'll get to them in a second.
Are they over under 500 team?
We'll get to them.
Okay. And then who's the other team?
Baltimore.
They lost four stars. So hands down, if Cleveland loses this division, it is literally the curse of the Browns.
Three out of the four teams in your division are in a soft rebuild. Let's just be honest.
No matter how you cut it,
they're in a soft rebuild.
And you play all of them twice. So we're talking about they should be at worst 5-1 in their division. At worst.
How did this trade come to be?
Well, there are so many factors and aspects to consider here. Look, the Pittsburgh Steelers essentially turned the deal over to Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus, his client, to make here. They are now giving him a new three-year deal that's worth up to $54.125 million with $30.125 million in guaranteed money. He had no guaranteed money left. It's going to be for a third-round pick. It's going to be for a fifth-round pick.
Antonio Brown, for a while, that was the biggest trade, you know, even though we knew it was going to happen. But, he got traded to the Raiders for a third and a fifth-round pick and a restructured contract.
I'm gonna start here with Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning of the demise of Tomlin. He's going to be the first Pittsburgh coach fired.
Dang, you think so?
I think so because here's
why do you say that?
Because I don't know how you rebound from all of the talk, all of everything that got let go, or not let go, but everything that got exposed. But hold on. I feel that it shows the value of Tomlin, mm-hmm. but the dam is collapsed, and there's nothing he can do to fix
so
that.
They're going to blame him instead of themselves.
They're not necessarily going to blame him, because obviously he's done a marvelous job managing egos, mm-hmm. holding all of that shit behind closed doors for as long as he
Le'Veon
has.
Le'Veon Bell was the organization. That was upper management.
Mm-hmm.
They screwed that up.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've read and heard, they've permitted certain superstar treatment to Antonio Bell to allow him to get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So they bear some responsibility.
Of course, but ownership is ownership, upper management.
And that's
is
why I'm asking.
Management.
So they're going to blame him instead
they're
of
They're not necessarily going to blame him.
Then why
they're
is he going to get fired?
He's going to get fired because they're going to need to go in a different direction.
Sounds like they are already.
Yeah, I put it to you like this. I don't think Tomlin lasts more than two seasons with Pittsburgh.
You know what? I think I said this a while ago. I said that I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to actually not get fired. I think
he's just going to step down.
I think he's going to step down. I think with Big Ben,
I would step down after this year. I would say with this trade, the Steelers shot themselves in the foot early by letting the Le'Veon Bell situation end the way it did, because I think that was the catalyst for AB. Just for the fact that once you see somebody willing to sit out, once you see somebody turn down $14 million at a position that is not guaranteed long shelf, like not guaranteed that type of money, you start looking around like, wait, hold on. If he ain't worried about the money, why should I be worried about the money? He the best running back in the league. I'm the best wide receiver in the league. I can go anywhere I want to. I think that was the catalyst. Like, why am I sitting back for a quarterback that don't know when to throw the damn ball to me or the D lineman, or and with the GM thinking that we all kids outside of this white man. So I'm out of here. And then with the Steelers organization already saying like we're like they're trying to move on, like we're trying to get rid of, mm-hmm. so you already know that he ain't coming back. Cause you could mm-hmm. there's no reason why they needed to trade AB mm-hmm. at all. That's a lot of things that these teams I feel like the media kind of bloviates this thing, but at the end of the day the teams can just say like, bro, we ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. He ain't mm-hmm. he on contract.
Mm-hmm. He ain't got nothing to do. You would have had to pay him regardless.
You paying him regardless. Think
to
about
your point, though, what if he would have chosen the Bell model and sit out?
Then we would end up where we at right now, regardless. Yep. Yep. I'm still paying you. Juju's still gonna get these first targets,
right? Next year he's a free agent, right? Or do they have 1 or 2 years? I think he had 2 years left.
We can, but I'm just saying that. But without a whole year, we could trade you then before you or like before the season ends.
But his value further depresses, so the third in the field turns into a fourth or whatever. Or you get nothing like you got nothing with Bell.
I wouldn't say the value depresses. I would just say that
you wouldn't get a first round or a second round pick.
I would think you would settle for a second round at that point.
You weren't going to get it.
Because you settled for a third and a fifth.
But the point is you weren't going to get it if he sat out. Because his value isn't there anymore. Because the team would look at him like they got to get rid of him anyway because he don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to be another year of more toxicity, too. Yeah. So, look, man, look, at the end of the day, I feel that Pittsburgh did what they felt that they had to do.
I think right? they had to do it.
Yeah, because it just it got out of hand, right? It got out of hand.
Unless they paid him. So, if...
But even still, no. Even still, because, look, if they paid him, what does that have to do with how he perceives upper management and how he perceives Ben Roethlisberger,
that entire
locker room?
That could have been the start of saying, we value you. We're going to pay... Here's this.
If was about money.
We've heard all your grievances.
But here's the thing, though. Ben Roethlisberger, I think he's, you know, definitely way past his prime. I think he's holding on. I think he's one of these quarterbacks that needs more around him because I don't know if he can elevate like he once used to be able to. I just don't think that's where he is physically anymore. But even if you paid AB, do you think that Ben's stance changes?
I don't think so because the reason why here's the thing. If this truly is about money, which is...
I don't think it's all about money, though.
That's what people are saying.
I think 70% of it is about money.
I think the
Big Ben thing is just the icing on the cake.
I would say it's more so like 45 to 50% about money. It's more about locker room dynamic. And the reason why I say that is everybody that is affiliated with AB or knows AB says that he's a workaholic. So you know he comes in to play football. Right. But when you do that, right, there's just a certain level of expectation. Like I said, when you're great, you rub people the wrong way. And who's been greater for that organization than AB? Than Big Ben. So that locker room dynamic was not going to change, and the bank account don't change how you feel.
But if Antonio Brown did all of this just for money, and the Steelers said, we will give you the money, if that truly was his motivation, he probably would have been like, all right, we can work it out.
Think about the bulk of his career in Pittsburgh, he was getting underpaid. At one point in time, he was the third best wide receiver on that team, which as crazy as that sounds. And he worked his way up, because he is a workhorse, to being the number one wide receiver in the league. And even then, he only got paid substantially these last couple seasons. And last season, he had to even force that pay bump for them to move the money. Yeah. So... And then look at what he was saying in these interviews and all that. He was like, I want to get, you're going to have to pay me. And I want to win, I want to go to the situation that I want to. It's like, right now, I think, you know, when you've been undercut so much in your career and you've over excelled everything you've been asked to do. And the one thing that you ask, like, come on, at least pay me. And they're like, all right, we ain't going to pay you. Well, at least get this guy off my back who's been, you know, criticizing me throughout the media on the radio show in our city, the city that I've been sweat, blood, and tears for. You can't get a leash on him, but he can say anything about me, and I'm not getting paid. I think it's 70-30% Big Ben, because I think you can get along with anybody if you're getting paid. You can pay me $1 million.
And I think he would have.
I could sit with anybody if you pay me millions of dollars.
Because at the end of the day, we know not only would he be paid, he was going to win.
And he was getting targeted anyway.
He don't know what's going to happen in Oakland. So, you know, I think for me, man, I don't think it was a bad trade for Pittsburgh. I don't.
To get rid of the headache?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. For a third and a fifth?
Yeah. But that's what I'm talking about, that locker room dynamic. Even if you paid him, right, there's just going to be another set of issues.
That could have happened down the line, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think money solves it all. And obviously, I understand where you're coming from as a person that's trying to excel their career and be viewed and valued at where I am in the game. I 100% understand that. But at the end of the day, when I come home to the locker room, which is supposed to be my sanctuary, that's not going to change much, regardless of whatever the bank account says.
Right.
So to me, that's why I think that this still would have been an issue. And then with the dam breaking already, with all of this stuff coming out, the money wasn't going to fix that.
Nah, at some point he was going to do it again.
Yep.
He was going to do it again.
And then he would have felt more emboldened, because now I am value. Yep. Now I am the number one wide receiver, old man quarterback.
And he's a bad boy.
It would have been worse.
He is. But he's what, 30, 31?
He's 31.
How many more years he got left?
They say as far as wide receiver decline, it starts at 30.
It starts at 30.
So, yeah.
But here's the thing about
most receivers.
Most receivers. Right?
He's a technician, so.
Exactly. Yeah. He can run every route.
But his biggest thing is his quickness and his speed.
It is.
Because he's a small guy.
It is. But what happens with a lot of the greats that take care of their body? They just move inside.
Yeah, you'd be like Larry Fitzgerald.
You move inside.
Jerry Rice.
Or Jerry Rice, yeah.
You move inside. You're not the outside guy no more. You the inside guy, and you can still eat.
But the one thing I'll say, like, he don't like getting hit.
Nah, he don't. Because he's smaller.
He's a small dude.
He's smaller. Yeah, he's smaller.
But I feel like once they say move inside, he's like, I'm going to move outside. I'm going to retire.
But you know what, though? And here's the thing. I think that he would just have to learn to not try to fight for all of the extra yards. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of inside guys. You play football, you gonna get hit.
Yeah, you gonna get hit. Yeah.
But there's a lot of inside guys that they know how to avoid the big hit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So obviously, if he's worked his way from a 6th round draft pick to being the number one guy and everything in between that, you can figure out that position because he's already a tactician when it comes to the position. So I don't think that transition would be as hard for him as it would be other wide receivers, in my opinion, just based off of how he beat you. And here's the thing to me too. Like maybe y'all will say otherwise, but once you're like, if your natural ability is quickness, you don't lose quickness the same way you lose speed. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course, you're going to lose steps. Yeah. You're not going to be the same. I'm not saying you're going to be like what you were in your prime. But people that are quick are still typically quick. Look at Darren Sproles. He looked like a step forward. That motherfucker old as hell now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? For football.
Yeah.
And he's still quick as hell.
Yeah. I give you that.
So to me.
I was mostly talking about his speed, not his quickness.
And he's super quick. He's shifty.
Yeah.
So to me, I don't think he loses that. And if he doesn't lose that to a major degree, you can move inside. You can, because inside is so difficult for a slot corner to guard because there's more space. Mm-hmm. You don't have the sideline as an extra defender. Yeah. It's more space. If he could blah, blah, and then get you quick pass, you could turn 5-4 yard passes into first downs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I can see how he has old man game in the NFL.
Well, I look, so we're just sticking with Pittsburgh, then we shift to Oakland. Bell is gone. The Kardashians, the wisdom they used to call the Steelers, right? All of that stuff is out now. You can focus on football. You don't have to manage egos. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with Big Ben, but, you know.
You talking about you got the Jenners now?
Yeah. when I saw the trade happen, I was like, damn, that's all they got was a third and a fifth? My first reaction was like, damn, Matt was right. So I'm going to have to listen to that, Matt Kellerman. But because he kept saying that, but I was like, the Steelers really wanted to move on from him. Like, they were really tired of
him. If you want to take a third and a fifth and eat $20-plus million.
In the cap space.
You really hate that dude.
Mm-hmm. You was like, get, go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Fast. So, what does that tell you? That tells you that he was a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
There must have been things, and we've heard that there were things going on, at least I've heard that there were things going on there that we don't even hear.
Right.
You know, with him. So it's best for them. Give us a third. Give us a fifth. Antonio Brown's a sixth round pick. Historically, we know that they know how to draft receivers. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, so, I think that they're the greatest organization ever.
So, you know, if they found him, if they found Emmanuel Sanders, if they found Santonio Holmes,
Juju,
they got Juju. Hines, they're probably finding another
Plexico.
You know,
are we stable from the top down? Management, coach, quarterback for now, and then everything else falls in play. And now it's up to Tomlin to just reset everything and put his foot down, and we'll see what happens there. I think the Steelers will be fine. I don't think they're falling. They lost talent, but we've seen plenty of teams win without having talent like Bell and the Steelers.
And even though some people might say you you being very optimistic, I feel like that's the same way I feel like with the Giants, as far as our Super Bowl runs never worth like number one wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Like, when was the last time you saw a number one wide receiver win a Super Bowl? Like, as far as superstar, it don't really happen.
Jerry
so
Rice.
maybe this Browns team changes that. But they still got to go through Kansas City. They still got to go through New England.
Of course. But the thing is that, even though now they have OBJ and they have that outside talent, that's not the engine that's just the cherry. Because even before OBJ, right, like, I think that they were extremely scary. Obviously, they didn't have the over-the-top guy. Mm-hmm. You know, you throw it in the vicinity, I'm going to just make the spectacular catch guy. Even though Jarvis Landry does that in confined spaces, he doesn't do it in big spaces.
Right.
Odell does that shit in big spaces. But to me, what's really going to power this offense is, number one, that they have their quarterback. That's number... And they got running backs.
Backs. Plural.
You know, they got three of them.
To me, the two biggest things was O-line and D-line. They got that too.
And they have that too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They got pass rushers and they got somebody to protect the quarterback. Because Baker, even though he can make something out of nothing, he's still a little...
He still needs
to be protected.
1,000.
And also, they got some big boys that can go get after their
opponent's
quarterback.
Exactly.
So what about the Raiders, man?
I like the Raiders.
Evil genius. He's looking more and more like an evil genius.
But
here's
the thing. I get Like, have y'all listened to Colin Cowherd? What he was saying?
I haven't listened to him recently.
Not yet.
Okay, so when he was talking about the AB situation, I was like, I kind of see what you're like, where you're going, but at the same time, for me, I feel that sports is chess and checkers, and I feel that the foundation is chess, right? Because you got to think ahead, but sometimes you got to be fluid enough to play checkers. Like, okay, we need this opportunity. We got to go take. You know what I'm saying? And Colin's point was that he likes GMs and head coaches and organizations that have a plan. And he said, well, damn, okay, he got rid of the Khalil Macks of the world, the Amari Coopers of the world, and now he got a lot of draft stock. So that means that you have an idea as to how you want to shape the roster. But AB feels like that move was just right off the cuff.
Yep.
So for me, again, I like chess and checkers. Chess is getting rid of these guys. The checkers was getting AB. And the reason why I like getting AB is because what did you get? You gave him a third and a fifth, bro. That's it, right? Like, there was no other players involved. It was just two draft picks.
Yep.
Third and a fifth for that guy? That is an upgrade over Amari Cooper?
Hell of an upgrade.
So to me, it's like, okay, you still have to make up for Khalil Mack because you haven't replaced that. And we'll see how you drive. But if we just look at it for transaction from transaction.
Transactional,
they won. Okay. Big time. And they still have a lot of draft picks.
To go off of your chess and checkers, I see John Gruden as checkers, and I see, what's the guy, the GM, Mayock,
as chess. Mike Mayock.
To me, that decision when he, because obviously John's running the team. You don't sign a coach for 10 years and he ain't running the
right,
team.
Right, for $100 million, yeah.
For him to be like, I need this guy, or I want to partner with this guy for the longevity of my tenure, that says a lot. Because I think a lot of people respect Mayock. Mm-hmm. And I think that the moves that they've been making recently are all him, not Gruden. Because I think Gruden probably
so
was like...
So you think AB is a Mayock move?
I think the way they got him... is a Mayock move. I think John was like, I want that guy. And Mayock was like, okay, this
I
is
can,
how
John
it's
John was like, I can Let's deal
wait.
With it.
Yeah.
Let's wait. Because remember, the Raiders were in the AB situation early on.
They was.
And they were considering giving the first round pick for him. And again, even transactionally, you get a first round pick for Amari, you give up one for AB. It's even.
You're looking at the market like, if Amari is going for a first, AB should be worth two.
Exactly. But they held tight, and they gave up a third and a fifth. And that is a Mayock
move. They let the dumpster fire keep growing.
Yep.
And I think that's why I'm looking at the situation like they going into the draft with three first-round picks.
Plus AB. And a quarterback.
And picks. A year ago,
we were talking about why the hell you giving up Khalil Mack. Now you got one of the best wide receivers. You forget Amari. You got one of the best wide receivers now. And then you go in a defensive-heavy draft that – You could get Nick Bosa probably. The way they're talking about him now with Kyler Murray possibly going number one, everything, you know, once a quarterback go, everybody want a quarterback.
Yep.
You get Nick Bosa at number four. To me, at first I was like, what's going on? He's starting to look like an evil genius now.
Yep.
And you still got Derek Carr.
Transactionally, it looks good because we all expected Brown to net a first-round pick. And if he wasn't out there acting a fool, he probably would have netted a first-round pick. He depressed his own value. He's lucky they still traded him.
I agree.
We already talked about that. Transactionally, yes, the Raiders look good. I don't think this is going to work out. And I think this was a bad move by the Raiders.
Really? Why you say that?
I absolutely do. Derek Carr is number one.
So where are you? Hold on. We got to take three steps back.
Man, that dude was having a damn near MVP season before he got injured.
So two years ago, when they won, the Cardiac Raiders? Then they won a lot of games.
Yeah, they won the last minute.
Yeah, they lost. Last year, Gruden wanted to get rid of him. But go ahead. What's your question?
My question is this. Are you off of Derek Carr as being, you know, above the fray in the NFL as a quarterback?
He's an above average quarterback, yes.
I feel like he's right outside the top ten looking in.
Is he like Matt Ryan above average?
No, he's below Matt Ryan.
Yeah, he's definitely below Matt Ryan. But I think the arm talent is above Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan is better here.
Yeah, okay. I can see that.
I think Matt Ryan is better above the shoulders. But the arm, if we're judging solely on the arm, I think Derek Carr has a top 10 arm.
Yeah,
just solely on the arm. It's above the shoulders where he has to get better.
Which is what Gruden loves.
And him and Gruden got to get more on the same page.
Right.
However, it makes it a lot easier this year because it's easy to judge Derek Carr and be like, oh, maybe he don't have it when he don't have a number one wide receiver. Because
he had Amari 2 years ago.
Amari wasn't Amari in Dallas the way he was.
Exactly.
Why was he very inconsistent?
Yep.
Why was that? Is that Amari's fault or is that the quarterback
fault? He was dropping balls too.
Or is that the quarterback? I mean, the coach fault. Before they fired the coach and brought in Gruden.
Maybe it's a little bit of everything.
How many good years have Derek Carr has?
He's probably about three. He's at one.
Oh, no.
I'd say about three.
I think he had about one. And I think that was the year he made the playoffs.
Yeah, that was his big, his breakout year was the best tripping. Year.
He's had at least three good seasons.
No, I'm looking it up.
He only had the league for about, what, 4 or 5 years? He's still on his rookie deal, eh?
No, he extended. Ken, I think it's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
However, now there's no excuses. Now you got to hold Derek Carr.
5 years. He's been in the league 5 years.
Okay, so name the completions, touchdowns, yards, and interceptions. That's how we can judge.
All right, so 3-13 the first year, 7-9, 12. He's had one good year.
Now, well, you said 7-9. What was that? That's the record?
That was his second year. So his rookie year, he was 3-13. Okay, whatever. 7-9 the second year. He's had one good year, record wise. So I'm gonna give you the numbers.
But I'm gonna give you the numbers you asked for.
Mm-hmm. Starting with his rookie year, 21-12, mm-hmm. 32-13,
mm-hmm.
28-6. They made the playoffs, mm-hmm. 12-3, 22-13, and 19-10.
Okay, so what does that say about an organization when a quarterback has a lot of success early, but then he starts to taper off? That's not all the quarterback. There's been a lot of transition. The Raiders, historically, outside of the super early Al Davis years, have been somewhat in turmoil. Like they have not been a foundational organization. And I think now Gruden's going to be there, guaranteed at least 8 years. At least, right? He's already upped his own value by getting all of these draft picks, right?
Okay.
Now he's made a really good trade in terms of getting rid of Amari, getting a first, and getting AB for 3 and 5. Now it's on Derek Carr because we know he has the talent. In his first 3 years, he's outballed his last 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? From a touchdown interception perspective. And I guarantee you that the yards correspond with that.
Yeah, over 3,000.
Yep. You know, so for me, this is the year that Derek Carr has to bounce back because now there is a foundation in terms of the organization. Now you have arguably, you know what I'm saying, a top three wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Some people might say Julio. Some people might say Odell. I ain't going to argue the folk out here, but AB is top three guaranteed. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Now you have 3 first round picks. Now you can have a defense because what was one of the worst parts of the Raiders last year? Was the defense. They couldn't stop shit. And we see the impact that Khalil Mack has. Because what the hell were the Bears in terms of defensively before he got there?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're middle of the pack.
I think they were like top 12 team defensively.
But they were up and coming.
Yeah, they were up and coming. Obviously, he took a whale over the
team. Exactly. Khalil Mack was an injection of adrenaline.
It was.
You know what I'm saying? But now the Raiders are going to be able to foundationally, from the ground up, build that defense with first-round talent. So now David Carr on the other side of the ball is going to have help getting the ball back. Now he has somebody to legitimately, in a wide range, throw the ball to. They still got to address running back. They still got to address O-line. They still got other things to address. But with Gruden being the foundation and having all of these picks to actually build the team, next year is the year where I feel that you can sell or buy David Carr stock.
Since he completed 62% of his passes for his career. 32 of 46 as a starter. 16 comebacks, 16 game winning drives. I think a lot of that was in the 12-3 year. Look, we know the talent is there. My thing is, AB has been catching passes from Big Ben, who's he had a chemistry with for years, who he developed a chemistry with. He has to get on the field and develop a chemistry with Derek Carr, who may or may not be there, depending on how he plays. And depending on what how Gruden feels about Derek Carr.
He going to be there.
He going to be there this season.
Y'all tried to trade him last year.
Well, because
that was last year.
Yeah, that was last
Everything
year.
Everything changes year to year.
Exactly. And also.
Oh, no. Y'all not going to get away with
that.
No.
What you mean? Everything doesn't change year to year?
No, it does. That's a fact. But how are we going to go from trading Derek Carr last year, talking about Gruden was going to get rid of
because
the man?
Because
they signed AB and now we're going
to Because everything that happened this past season has led up to them having a bevy of picks to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. They probably have
About Derek Carr. You guys had Derek Carr on the trading block.
No, I'm saying this. They had a bevy of picks to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. They probably have three scenarios based on certain situations falling together where they'd be like, all right, we could go this way, that way, or that, or the third way. And I think with them getting AB, it's like, well, now that we have AB, it makes no sense to get rid of Derek Carr at this point in the season because I don't think anybody has offered anything to them for them to move on from him because they're not just going to cut him because they still got to pay him. So it's like, we're not going to do anything. Nobody's asked for him, so we're not going to give him up. And we need somebody to throw AB to. They still got to sell tickets. They still need to make a good transition to Vegas.
And I don't know if y'all know this, but the owners are kind of cash strapped. So even though they have cap space, they don't know if they can physically pay everybody. So there's a lot of things that go into
That's
it.
Also, the main reason why they let Khalil Mack go.
And Ken, you also got to look at last year what Gruden was trying to do. He was trying to get his guys. If you let arguably the best defensive player in the game go, then you let the best wide receiver on the roster go. But who the hell is next?
I thought that it was discussed that Gruden didn't think or believe that Derek Carr was one of his guys.
I think that was a discussion. However, again, once they brought that GM in, I think him and Gruden had a long talk, and it was like, this is the best move for us to make organization-wise, team-wise, because like you said, like at the end of the day, you're gonna have to pay quarterbacks regardless nowadays, right? The market is premium. Nick Foles got $88 million. You know what I'm saying? So Blake Bortles got what, 20 something million at one point. Like, you're gonna have to pay QBs. So if you're already paying a QB who has a top 10 arm talent, who has shown in his past that can get you to the playoffs, if not get you at least, you know, a top seed in the playoffs. I think right now you just weather the storm because you have a lot of holes that you need to fill. QB is not one of them. That'd be a waste, especially in a weak QB draft class. But you got next year where you could possibly get somebody. I just think right now it just don't make sense to move on.
And the thing too, Kay, is you got to understand who the GM is. Mike Mayock. Mike Mayock has been doing drafts since I've been watching the drafts. So if we're talking about an evaluator of talent, if we're talking about somebody that's going to maneuver and know when to kind of rebuild or, hey, now is the time we can get this particular quarterback. This is the guy. Let's move on from Derek Carr. Let's trade him. If Mike Mayock is like, nah, we don't have nobody in this draft, let's make the AB thing. Let's try to make the best possible soup with the ingredients that we have.
And when you broke and you need to sell these tickets, You gotta get somebody box office.
See, because you might just have ramen noodles, but you already know how we do. You spice that thing up, boy. You add a whole bunch of things in that. We gonna create a restaurant off of this ramen noodle.
Rick, what's his name? This was on The Athletic, and somebody asked if they were shopping Derek Carr and Vic Tafur. And he says that he thinks they've been trying to trade Carr or they could trade Carr for 6 months, but they were not shopping him at the combine. And could they trade him at the draft? They could, but it seems like they would have a little leverage, which kind of goes back to what one of you guys was saying. So they'll probably just keep him.
Cheaper but to keep him.
There were talks about them looking at Kyler Murray too.
I don't doubt that either. I just think that right now, how much is Derek
Carr? But it's a make or break season for Carr, and that's where I think the problem is going to come in. Because if Carr and Brown don't develop chemistry on the field and they're losing, y'all think Brown not going to have to fool down his money is guaranteed?
I mean,
and we back to square one.
I don't think they really care.
Who don't care?
The Raiders.
The Raiders?
Their main thing is getting to Vegas.
Yep.
Because that's where their big payday is at.
Mm-hmm.
They can make so much. They could probably triple their net worth by just going to Vegas. So right now it's just all about how we can ease on down to Vegas.
I think we're going to see Antonio Brown fall off next year.
He just like a woman
you
scorn.
You think the phone off at the beginning?
He mad as hell because he left Pittsburgh the way he did. Come on, man.
You think the phone off begins?
I think it starts next year, man.
Wow. And it's documented now.
Yes, it is. It is. Look.
Watch AB have one of the best seasons he ever had.
It was on this show. I was the first one that said they should trade both of them. They should get rid of both of them. And here we are. It happened. So...
I'll pick him up on your fantasy team next year.
I don't want any parts of Antonio Brown on my fantasy team next year. I'll get Bell, but y'all can keep. I want no parts of Derek Carr throwing the ball to Antonio Brown.
There's a lot of that. He could end up in Buffalo. There's a lot of worse situations he could end up in.
Yeah.
At least he got a quarterback.
Okay, so Le'Veon Bell, ready?
What else do I
have?
Okay,
here we go.
All right, here we go.
Numbers.
Here we go.
Le'Veon Bell, 4 years, $52.5 million with the Jets.
4 years, $52.5 million.
4 years, $52.5 million.
So what's that work out to? That's less than he had. That's less than he was got last year with Pittsburgh.
Again, listen, people are going to assess this deal and see how it came out. But you've got a situation here where he was taking the best deal on the market. There was not a lot out there. The Baltimore Ravens, who were linked to Le'Veon Bell,
right,
basically never had a negotiation with him.
Okay,
they just didn't. The Jets were in there. There are other teams, mulling whether to get in there. Nobody was going to get serious here. Nobody got up to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And Le'Veon Bell made the decision tonight to go to the New York Jets.
Speaking of Le'Veon Bell, this is so silly. It's amazing how the media works nowadays or how these investigative journalism goes. But apparently he changed his Twitter profile to green, which is a sign that he may be going to the Jets. The Jets said, hey, we're going to up our offer after Antonio Barr sparred him to go back to the Vikings.
Bust a Yui on the highway.
Yeah. So they put more money on the table, but they gave him a deadline, which I love, by the way, because you don't want to be hostage to a player.
Mm-hmm. Especially a running back.
Yeah. So, but it's been a lot of misdirection. The Ravens were reportedly involved. Some guy that said that predicted Antonio Brown going to the Raiders. Tweeted something about Eller Allen Poe and Nevermore, which of course is the whole poem about the Ravens, and he knows, and I think Chad Ochocinco know, and everybody knows help us. So, where do you guys think he's going? The Jets, the Raiders, who are still somewhat in the mark play, or the Vikings? No, not the Vikings, but
Ravens.
The Colts?
Ravens.
The
Colts are out. They're done.
They already said.
I wish
he would go to the Colts.
Yeah, it's only three.
If he would have went to the Colts. Yeah, if he would have went to the Colts.
That balance. They just don't have balance.
Man.
You get that man some balance. You get that boy Andrew Luck some balance.
What? Make his life a whole lot easier?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about pencil him in the AFC.
Damn, the Colts, they signed Devin Funchess?
Oh, did they?
They did.
Okay.
All right, Colts, I see y'all.
Mm-hmm.
They need a draft receiver.
In terms of where Le'Veon goes.
He might go to the Raiders because he's trying to keep stuff on the hush.
I think he's going for whoever gave him the biggest bag.
Think about it, he lost
$14 million last year.
So the Jets can give him the big bag, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think they all can. Raiders can too?
Yeah,
Raiders have cap space,
but remember, the owners have cash flow issues.
Yeah, that's what the Raiders have money. But that's all the money they got.
Oh, okay.
Because the owners, they don't have, they're not like all these other owners where they got like other funds.
Vikings can put up the bread too?
I think, I don't know about
their. I feel like the Jets can probably
I know
the
Chiefs
money.
Actually have cap space.
The Chiefs have cap space.
Ooh, man. I think the Texans.
Le'Veon Bell?
The Texans have cap space, but they have a horrible line, so I don't know if he want
to
go there.
You know, I think the most interesting place for him to go will be the Ravens. because we know the style of play.
Real quick, he has until midnight to accept or decline the offer.
For the Jets. A little over an hour.
Yep.
By end of night.
So we'll see.
Boy, I'll take that money.
But again, I feel that the most interesting place for him to go would be the Ravens. And the reason why is because of their style of play. With Mar Jackson, we know that they are going to be run first. Mm-hmm. And now you have a dual threat quarterback and you have that guy.
Dude, they got the bread, though.
They let how many people go that they didn't re-sign? Yeah, they got money.
Was the reason why they let them go is because they don't want to spend money. You know what I mean?
I think that the reason why you let those guys go is
because CJ Mosley's still in his prime.
He is. If I'm putting my GM hat on, I don't want to win with Ozzie's guys. I want to start my own new regime here. And obviously, the quarterback is the quarterback. Like, okay, cool. Thank you, Ozzie. We'll take this guy. But the rest of the guys, it's kind of like you want a fresh start. And I don't always necessarily – I don't agree with all of the moves that they've made. But if I had to try to understand or justify it, that's the only thing that comes to my mind.
It hasn't fully worked out for Le'Veon Bell because the market was cool for him when it opened. And, you know, I'm just reading that the Ravens are not really in play. Mm. It's really the Jets are really the only team left.
That's what I'm saying. Take the money. And that's probably why they say they gave him the midnight. Mm-hmm. Like, look. We really want you, but at the same time, we know we talk to everybody else too. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take this, I mean, it's New York. He can make a brand for himself. Mm-hmm. He's playing with a young QB, so he'll get a lot of touches.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts don't want to bring him in because
he go to Miami every too.
They have
at least
young,
once a year.
They have a young locker room, so they don't want to bring him in and mess up that whole thing. So
yeah, the coach was talking about, man, we trying to run this like damn, like it's like Shawshank. Mm-hmm. If you don't fit the bill, you out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they don't want any parts.
I think Kansas City would definitely be interesting.
I think
they don't want him.
Yeah, what, Kansas City?
Yeah.
Well, then
people are not. They don't want Le'Veon like that.
You know, but part of that is
how
because
he
did something that nobody else has done. When have we ever seen another player sit out the entire year?
Right.
And I think they'll use that
and
against
not get paid.
They'll use that against him because they'll say some stupid stuff like, are you really committed to football?
Exactly. And that's part of the reason why I feel that
his
stock
is.
That's not valid.
Because we don't play this game for free.
Exactly. Pay me my motherfucking money, man.
Y'all don't get
what
paid. Y'all don't do this for free. Why should I do this for free?
It's valid to a certain degree. Like, he did prioritize money and throw away 14 mil for, what, 3 mil more this year?
3 mil, 3 mil.
You're talking about his livelihood. He may not have finished college.
You talking about you had like the man wasn't gonna get paid.
No, apparently has he gotten paid?
He was due 14 mil.
Due 14 mil, but he knows he's worth more. Why
17 mil versus 14?
Yep,
that's a lot of $3 million.
I understand
that changed my life right now.
It's not like he jumped 8 to 10 mil.
But that's irrelevant. And the reason why I say that is the extra 3 million. Is the tax money that they're going to take anyway. So that contract, that 14 mil, is more of that money that I get to keep.
Was he a first-round pick?
Was he?
I doubt he was a first-round pick. And if he wasn't, that means he hasn't been guaranteed nothing ever since he got in the league. So he wants a large lump sum to where he can retire, he can do whatever he wants to. He's a smart guy.
And he's also a very selfish guy. Do you want to bring that into your locker room?
Selfish what? Because you want to get paid? This is at the end of the day, football, at the end of the day, all professional sports are a group of individuals. These are not people who are all cool with each other, kumbaya. This is all people who get drafted.
Second round pick.
They all get drafted in a situation that they did not ask to get into. They just want to be in the league. They just want to play. They just want to play the sport that they grew up playing, and they want to make money off of it. Just like the owners want to make money off the players, and that's why we play this whole game, this whole dance, everything. It's all because of money. Nobody's doing this for free.
Well, he did it for nothing because he didn't get a cent, and now he's trying to make it up this year. So we'll see. I think
somebody gonna pay him.
Yeah, the Jets will pay him.
Take that money from the Jets, man.
But
your
he's
money.
Not gonna get that $14 million back.
That's cool.
You know, so you know, and
I bet his body feel good. Yeah. I bet you mentally he in a much clearer space right now.
Well, we'll see.
Fresh start.
As long as he don't come back as like CJ, built like a bowling ball.
We kind of talk about what we expect from the Steelers.
I think a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
They falling off.
They gonna be at the bottom of the division.
Y'all tripping.
They're going to be ahead of them damn Bengals, though.
Hold on. Hey, y'all might have to make me start talking now. Zach Taylor, man, we out here, baby. AJ, I see you.
Still not about to fall off, man. Y'all bugging. Watch.
Right now, the Bengals have more talent than the Steelers.
So? What they going to do with it? They don't have a coach.
We'll see.
Zion is back. You expect them to play in the tournament?
Yeah.
I think he wants the ACC tournament or the ACC tournament.
I think he's going to play in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, you got to get his legs.
You think he sits out the March Madness?
No, hell no.
He said he wants to win the NCAA championship. So I think, I think Coach K going to kind of ease him back in this ACC tournament, regardless of what.
Get his legs up under him.
Get his legs back up under him. And then once the tournament comes,
unleash.
I mean, at that point, you got to unleash because it's one game, one and done. So I think they're going to probably get to the ACC championship game. So he's going to slowly ease. And I think he's going to play about four games to get there. So yeah, he's going to slowly ease him in, get his legs under him, and then, like people say, unleash him once the tournament starts.
As long as the Knicks keep
Selection
losing.
Sunday is this Sunday, so. Yep.
What do you think about KD and Kyrie? They're saying that they probably don't even want to go to New York. Didn't one of y'all say that?
I said that.
Yeah.
Because of the media?
Because of the media.
They're complaining now.
Yeah, exactly. In Boston and Golden State.
New York is like 10 times worse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's literally the city that never dies, and the stories only get burnt up even more. Mm-hmm. You say they take this little thing, and it's all day, every day.
And even though I'm saying this, and it's not helping my case of asking them to come to New York, I will say New York does not appreciate their stars at all.
Really?
At all. If you look at Patrick Ewing, mm-hmm. the only person they really appreciate is Derek Jeter.
Yep.
And I was listening to another podcast.
You don't think they appreciate Patrick Ewing?
Really? Not to the level that he should have been.
Why has he not gotten a
front office job? He hasn't. And you know what? He's underappreciated in the NBA. I think he was an assistant for a number of years in the NBA.
For too damn long.
Exactly. Never got a head coaching opportunity. He had to go to college to get a head coaching opportunity. And even in college, like, he's not. You know what I'm saying? What about the old school guys?
Walt Frazier. You don't think New York appreciate them?
I think Willis Reed. Frazier, they do.
Yeah, because those guys are legends.
I mean, the way they treated Oakley. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's Dolan, though.
That's Dolan.
And Dolan ain't been there with the owner since 99.
But I just think that New York in general, like, when was the last super, like, even look how they treating Eli now. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though Eli's washed up, but it's like, He gave y'all two parades. Like, I would be the undefeated Patriots team. If you a Lions fan, I'm a Bengals fan, we would kill for a parade. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, just one.
We would go back.
We would go back to celebrate.
When the Cavs won the finals, I had a homie go all the way back to. He was partying everything. He was celebrating. He's like, because I never know when this is ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to happen sooner rather than later now.
Like, New York don't really appreciate their stars like that.
But you know what? I think that's also a byproduct of those cities. Those cities that have more to do than just sports. Sometimes, you know, like Miami, right? Like, Miami doesn't. I think the organization does, but the city doesn't appreciate the legends that they've had. You know what I'm saying? Maybe only Wade, probably. I think Wade is the biggest one, but look at Marino. You know what I'm saying? Like, does Miami really appreciate Marino like that? And I grew up in Miami. I know they love the Dolphins down there. But I think Wade is by far the biggest. But, like, even Zoe. Like, we love Zoe in the moment. And now he's, you know, front office guy. But I don't know, man. I think
Miami was the most stable organization LeBron played for.
Oh, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. It's not even close. 1,000%. Because he's brought the stabilization everywhere he's gone outside of there. Cleveland two times.
That's probably why
the
he
Lakers
was like
now.
So. That's the most submissive he's ever been in his career. Was when he was with Miami.
Yeah, I know.
There was somebody else at his level. Think about it. The entire time outside of the Kyrie years, he hasn't played with somebody at his level. He just hasn't. And I would say even D-Wade played at a more overall higher level than Kyrie, because Kyrie didn't impact the defense like that. Like, Dwayne Wade has the most blocks out of any guard in NBA history. Yep. He's over 1,000 blocks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So LeBron actually played with somebody that can do the things he can do. That was the only time. So you have to be a little bit submissive. Oh, shit, my bad, bro. Let me give you the ride. Let me go stay over here in the corner.
Y'all know Bron is the only player in NBA history to be top 10 in scoring and top 10 in assists. Yep. That's freaking crazy.
And he's probably going to be top 10 in steals and blocks.
I think so. I got to see where his blocks. I got to see where he's at in blocks and steals.
Ken?
But that's, yeah, we're going to do right now. I'm just.
So what y'all think they're going to do, Duke, going to do in the tournament? Think they're going to win it all? What you think, Duke?
Nah. Remember, I got to see the bracket first, man.
They
put them in the cupcake region every year. Every single year they always
put
them.
No, I agree with that.
I'll be like, oh, really? They put them, I mean, they might have like one team that can challenge them in the region, but they always put Duke in the cupcake.
What was the last stacked team that actually won it all?
Stack team? Yeah. I'll probably say Calipari, the Anthony Davis, Michael Gilchrist, that squad, that Kentucky squad.
But even then, it was like, that wasn't even the most stacked the Calipari.
I said the Karl Anthony Towns Kentucky team. You know how many NBA guys they got?
Devin Booker.
They had
Devin Booker's on that team?
No, yeah.
But DeMarcus Cousins, though. Like, that squad
was better than the 2010 John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins.
I don't know.
It was like men's playing amongst boys, man, when that shit was going. Like, everybody, they were like Golden State. Like, when Kevin Durant came to Golden State, it was kind of like, oh, they got it. Like, ain't no way they gonna lose it.
And they were so good, they got Daniel Orton top 15 in the draft.
In the draft, right. He was an afterthought, and he was a top 15
in
the draft.
He was a scrub.
But yeah, I think Anthony Davis, it was him, it was Devin Booker, I forgot who was the other guard for that squad. But they wasn't like,
they was good. The only one I remember is Davis. I don't even remember.
So look, they had the Harrison twins, right? Willie Cauley-Stein, Devin Booker, Cat.
Cat, yeah.
They had Tyler Ulis that made it to the league.
Y'all right.
Wasn't Patrick Patterson on that team?
Yeah, Patrick Patterson was on that. Man.
Hey, you know, looking at this roster, though, the one person that just disappointed in the NBA, Trey Lyles.
Yeah.
He still got a chance.
He still has a chance, but it's very small.
It's very small.
Because it's kind of
when he's had opportunity, he's put up decent numbers. He just got stuck on the bench on a loaded Utah?
Yeah, he went to Utah, but then he got moved though, and we haven't heard about him.
Oh well, that may have done him in.
But yeah, Duke, I just got to see the region. I got to see the brackets. Once they fill out the brackets, then I can say how far Duke's gonna go, but I just can't tell right now. I don't see what they got in front of them.
Well, we'll break all that down as we get closer to it. Dolan gave that fan a lifetime ban for telling him to sell the team.
He him a lifetime?
Yeah,
bro. Yeah.
All he Dolan was sell the
team. That's your squad.
That's your team. That's your boy.
That ain't my owner.
That's your boy.
I don't mess with the team. I don't mess with the owner.
That's crazy, dude.
Man, yeah. I saw the video too. I was like, come on, man.
What? Off of that? Like, why you give him a lifetime ban off of that, though? You know what I'm saying? He didn't say nothing derogatory towards him.
He just said, sell the team.
Right.
To me, if I'm a billionaire, there's so much stuff that
there's
I would not give a damn about.
Yeah. Right, like, about a fan saying, sell the team.
I own a basketball team.
What you got?
There's only one other organization that has a better team brand than me, and that's the Lakers. Like, I own the Knicks in New York. Mm-hmm. I own the Garden. Like, come on.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's sensitive. The Jazz gave that fan a lifetime ban. The guy,
but that was more warranted though.
No, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's about the Westbrook thing.
Just gotta give an update on the whole thing that went down with Russell Westbrook.
I mean, you know, the dude deleted all his social media.
He had to.
No, I'm talking about even like, no, I'm just saying, but like even after it went down, he just deleted because he knew, man.
Yeah, of course.
The receipts were still pulled up on him.
All I said was his knees was icy.
No, he didn't.
Whatever.
I know.
No, you can't never question Westbrook, dog, man. He said, I got something for you and your wife. I'm like, why?
I don't mind players verbally going off on these fans, man.
I didn't expect him to come out his wife. His wife must have said some heat there.
As long as they don't run our tested, I'm fine with it. But
you set the stage, man. I am not the one to play with.
Yeah, you set the stage. Yep. I don't mind it verbally.
And here's the thing, right? I think basketball players on the court, everything goes. Whatever the fuck you want to say, right? Like KG told Carmelo, your wife tastes like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, anything goes.
That goes. Anything goes. From a fan's perspective, you can't cross the line. You can say, Russell, you suck. Russell, you gonna miss this shot. That's cool. And if Russell wants to talk shit,
But
when you say what that man said, and I'm not gonna repeat it because that was highly disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? Then whatever Russell says.
Yeah, so you can go off on him, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit, you lucky he ain't going that stand.
Man, Russ talked to a kid.
Exactly. What the fuck you think he gonna do to you?
Russ about to swing on a kid.
Russ had to pull a kid to the side.
No, he talked to the parent. He did a good job.
I know, what I'm just saying.
He turned the kid Russ first away, time, man. He looked back like, oh, then he looked down like,
man, look at all this nigga. Russ is the wrong one, man. He ain't playing around.
He's from L.A.
So I'm glad he went off on him. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he went off on my mans. I have no issue with him going off on him like that.
He was about to say, hey, what's up, cuz?
Man, when he said, oh, God, he said, oh, everything I love. I was He there. It was like when I knew R. Kelly was mad. He was like, man, y'all quit playing. I was like, no, R. Kelly's serious right now. Quit playing. Like, when you say that, you're like, man, y'all playing too much.
Yeah. And you see how Russell Westbrook plays the game of basketball with energy. What do you think if he diverted that energy to whooping your ass?
And he's a big dude. He like 6'7".
That's what I'm saying. He's 6'4".
Pure muscle.
210?
Pure muscle.
God, come on, man. With unlimited energy.
And athletic.
Where you gonna run and jump?
Catch your ass
over here. Fuck you mean?
Oh, man.
Give you a triple double ass whooping.
Oh, man. And Embiid back, man. I think there were concerns that...
it was more serious than what it was.
Yeah, but he came back, put up 33-12. Got the... Hey, man, y'all can't tell me he's not the most important player on that team.
I know, he is, definitely.
You know.
If anything, that was a mistake. Ben Simmons didn't ball out like he should. I'm saying like he should.
But we have to put it in context. Ben Simmons got thrashed by Houston.
They
didn't turn the wins and losses, but he still played well. Like, you see that the two of them together... It's not quite working out.
Remember when KD was hurt and what Russ did when KD was out? I'm expecting that.
But that's a different type of player. And Ben Simmons' game isn't all the way developed to be like, oh, let me just take this jumper. Oh, let me. Like, he doesn't. The way he plays the game and the way he affects the game doesn't always show up in the stat sheet. Like if you look at his numbers, you're going to be like, man, this guy is pedestrian. But you watch the game, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah, but I don't. I get. I mean, if y'all
and don't
y'all
forget, cool last year if it wasn't Ben Simmons snapped,
yep,
when Embiid was hurt,
that win streak.
Yeah, he went off. He was averaging like
if
a triple
cool
double.
That, I'm just saying, I expect a lot more from the number one overall.
Yeah,
pick.
But what year, Ken? What year is this for Mr. Ben Simmons?
We're about four.
He's not redshirted
his first year,
but he's only year three, literally, including the red shirt. Including the red shirt, because last year was the first year he played. This is the second year that he's played.
Ben,
so we're talking about 3 years in. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's really, he just got to get in the gym, man.
Next year, I'm putting five to his feet next year.
But he did step up. They just went, what, 3-4, 4-3 when he was
up? Can you pull up the number? How many points Ben Simmons averaging? Because I know it's about 18. So it's like 17
if
points.
If he ain't got DeMar DeRozan's, like,
mid-range,
not even mid-range, kitty free throw line, like something within 10 to 15 feet. If he ain't got that, I'm done with him.
17 even.
We're talking that this guy is 3 points away from 20 without a jumper. We're talking legitimately without a jumper.
And how much longer are we going to talk about potential? That's all I'm saying.
Three to five.
How much? I'm saying as far. How much longer we got to talk about potential as far as the jump shot? Because that's the thing that's going to separate him from being good to great.
Yeah, but potential should be realized within 3 to 5 years. This is the first year that we...
And I'm saying next year I'm holding his feet to the fire.
Nah, he still got one more year after that. He still got one more year. Here's the thing. What we just need to see is incremental progress, right?
Their championship window is now.
I understand that. But
we don't
No. But Nick, this is when you do have it. Because your window is still big because both of your best players are under the age of 26.
And I'm saying this. Next season, if KD, Kyrie, whoever mm-hmm. else come to New York, we mm-hmm. don't know how Toronto's going to play mm-hmm. out. Maybe Kawhi stays. Milwaukee is not going to get any worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
What do you mean?
They won't be better than the Sixers.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. But, that's...
But wait, hold on. Let me kill this argument. Let me kill your argument. If Ben Simmons does not get better... Is Philly worse than what they are right now?
It could be worse.
No.
Cause you think Jimmy's staying?
I don't think so.
You think Tobias going to stay?
I think Tobias is staying.
Tobias, I think he loves staying.
It. Yes.
Yeah. Tobias, he likes
it in
Philly.
That's the best city. Well, no, LA.
You can look at him and tell the way he's free for yes. the court, his whole. Yes. The way he carries yes. himself.
So you think Butler don't like you? I don't think Butler like you.
No, because if you look at the
it's
way
not looking like it.
Jimmy Butler's body language is like, I should be the man.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's playing on a team that have two other guys that are younger than him, not better than him right now, but they're more important to the
team.
Embiid
is better than him right now.
Okay, I give you that. But with Tobias coming in and fitting in seamlessly, yep. where Jimmy is still trying to figure it yep. out, It that's going to cause some type of turmoil. However, if Jimmy does
win,
stay,
if they winning though, that's going to cure.
I don't think Jimmy care about winning like that. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what? I, and that's what I was going to get to. If Jimmy stays and he still hasn't found his way, it's because he wants to win. If he leaves, it's because he wants to win his way. He wants to be the guy on the team.
He wants to be the man. And I don't
He
know.
Wants to average 20 and win a championship instead of averaging happen. 15 and
he
winning a championship.
He can go to Orlando where basketball goes to die and do whatever hell he want to.
There's not a team I can point to where he can go be the man to lead him to a title.
Exactly. Right. There's not a team out there right now.
He's not that kind of player.
He's not. He's complimentary, and that's not a slight to him. I I've said this about Jimmy. I don't know if he could be the number one guy on a championship team.
Yeah.
I definitely think he's number two. He's definitely number three. He's definitely number four, like he is.
Unless he go to L.A., the Lakers.
Yeah, that's a Pippen.
And see, the thing is with Jimmy, I don't know if he has love for LeBron like that. I don't think
he has love for anybody where he has to be second fiddle.
I think he has love for Kyrie. There's certain
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
Him and Kyrie
him
are super
Kyrie
tight.
Close.
Are they?
Yeah, really? Him and Kyrie are really tight.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like when they were playing in the Olympics.
I don't think for him to want to play with him.
No, when they played in the Olympics, like those two guys, you always saw them together.
Wait a minute. Wasn't one of you guys saying that Kyrie and Jimmy were gonna play in New York?
I said that.
Yeah.
I'm throwing out all types.
I said Kyrie and KD was gonna play in New York.
Yeah, originally that was the dynamic yeah. duo that was.
And then when I heard KD was kinda like bump Jimmy.
Exactly. But I think this offseason is going to say a lot about Jimmy's character. If he decides to stay in Philly, it's because he obviously you going to win. Or at least you're going to win the East. You should win the East with this roster.
Y'all be looking over Milwaukee like they ain't just some... a team on an island somewhere.
They still got it.
By the way...
All I'm saying is... Hold on, Ken. All I'm saying is when you look at 2, 3, and 4 on the roster, Philly is way better. Their second best player, their third best player, their fourth best player is way better than what Milwaukee got.
Yeah. When you look at it from that standpoint, but as far as consistency, Philly has changed in the last three, last year, this year, and damn near this upcoming year.
And so Milwaukee hasn't?
No, I'm saying not really. They've gotten better, if anything.
They have overturned the roster.
They have.
No, but I'm just saying, but like consistently as far as gotten better in the progression of they're now in a championship
they got a
window.
Coach, yeah.
They got a better and coach. Giannis they got better role yeah. players now. The team is bought in fully. Mm-hmm. Like with Philly is like Brett Brown's still a question mark.
But Philly changed over Jimmy's their whole question, team. Huh? I think that's what you were saying, right? Because no, Philly they've had two, three different starting teams.
No, but
this
I'm
year.
But I'm saying right now is like that all can crumble this offseason. I can't say the same thing about Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's oh, no, they'll be more consistent, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean by consistency. Like, right now, I feel like Milwaukee, moving forward, is the only team in the East that I can count on saying that will be the same team next year.
I think Philly will be the same minus Jimmy.
Yep.
And I think that's enough.
I do, too.
But yeah. we don't know that.
We don't, but.
Okay, so Philly will be the same with thing? Jimmy.
No, I'm saying, like, we don't know if that's going to put him over the hump.
I'm just speaking to the consistency.
Yeah, but the reason why I mentioned consistency is because that's going to get them up. Like Giannis, the only reason why we're not talking about Milwaukee right now is going to the finals is because of Giannis, and we may or may not know if this is his year. If this is Giannis' year, Milwaukee's
winning.
I think
it could be.
No. Look, this should be Giannis' year because I think he's going to win the MVP.
Really?
I think he's going to win the MVP.
I don't know about that.
No, they're not going to give it to him.
They might give it to Harden.
They're not going to give it to him, man.
I see them giving it to Paul George for Harden.
Paul George fell off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Paul George had a run.
He had more than a run. He just hit a bump in the road.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah. He hasn't been. Let's talk about consistency, since this is the topic of conversation right now, right? Who's been more consistent than Giannis?
Nobody.
No, I agree with you. Not beginning to end.
Beginning to where it counted. Like, I get what you're saying, but beginning to where, like, when Chris Paul got hurt,
yeah, and
he had the whole Melo situation.
He's trying to be slick again.
No, he is. No. But I get where you're coming from.
That's a good point, though. That was funny. Beginning from when it counted.
Okay. That's not what he wanted.
No, I'm just saying because everybody wrote them off this season. So the whole Melo situation when Chris Paul got hurt.
But he elevated.
And maintained
monster level.
Exactly. And maintained it.
Yes.
It's not like you know, PG, and PG was in my top five this year. So don't come at me, but PG has tapered off. Where James Harden, if he wants to score 35, he could go score 35. But with Giannis, to me, he does it better on both ends.
Yes, he does.
Definitely. Right? He's done it from the first day, from the first game of the regular season.
I agree.
He's played at this level, and the differentiator and the reason why I'm giving it to Giannis, who got the best record in the NBA.
Oh yeah. That's default.
Best player on the best team, and he's been doing it since the first game of the season.
He's the MVP. The main knock against him, I think Chris Broussard brought this up on First Things First. Giannis is foreign.
Okay.
And he's foreign?
He's foreign. He's from France.
That's his knock?
The knock, because like a foreign-born, like when was the last time you ever seen the face of the league? Like, we're moving towards this, because LeBron's on his, you know, back in that 03 draft class is pretty much wiped out.
Now, y'all remember this conversation started on Dead End Sports weeks ago. Everybody else just picked it up.
Giannis is, when was the last time a foreign-born NBA player was the face of the league?
I thought you were saying form, like shooting form.
Yeah, the face of the league.
Dirk?
I don't think it's ever been.
No, Dirk? Nah, not the face of the league.
Nah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, when you put a person like MVP, they're a candidate of being the face of the league. You got the KDs, you got the Stephs, you got the LeBrons, you got the...
Why he can't break the mold, though?
Yeah, and here's the thing.
Because he in a small market, and he got a long market.
You had your moment.
That's kind of crazy to hold it against that brother.
No, he was one of the faces, but he wasn't the face.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing, though.
That was a small market team.
The NBA, out of every league in major American sports, is the most open to other countries, to other... Just progressive on all fronts.
Yep.
I think that the NBA would actually embrace, and you know how you can market that?
Adam Silver, eat that up.
Yeah. Because even though we call him the Greek freak and grew up in Greece, where is he from?
Africa, right?
Africa.
Yeah.
And what is the NBA doing?
They're expanding to Africa.
So you can't... That's some Chris Broussard.
Yeah, that's Chris Broussard.
I don't really feel that is the sentiment of the league.
But the NBA, at the end of the day, is an American-born sport.
I understand
sport.
That.
It's American-branded. And it's all about
that.
The market. And what is the best thing America has ever created is their marketing campaigns.
But Nick, when you can play, you can play.
And here's the other thing, right? Giannis is signed to who in terms of shoe deal?
Who is he signed to?
Nike.
If he is, and Nike's done a horrible job promoting him, man.
Why you say that?
Because he's not one of their flagship athletes.
I got it. He has a signature shoe coming out right? And we know how Nike do. We know how Nike do. And you talk about marketing and promoting.
Let him win an MVP.
Thank you, B.
Yeah.
Thank you, B. It, as soon as he get that MVP trophy,
marketing
he's
going to
be all over the damn place. Marketing
goal.
What is you talking about,
marketing
man?
Marketing goal.
And... who was one of the biggest foreign players that's still huge today in the biggest country?
Yao Ming.
And Nike, the NBA, they still go to China every year. Kobe goes to China. All of these players go to China. Greek Freak can be a byway avenue to the Greece and Africa.
Greece ain't on it. I give you Africa. Greece ain't on it.
I'm not saying, but it's possible though.
But what I'm saying,
I'm sure them African could use some damn Nikes.
Hell yeah, you wrong yourself for that, Cam. You are.
But all I'm saying is, as you talking about marketing this, that, and the third, this opens up opportunity for marketing.
MVP.
And also, at the end of the day, he's been the most consistent player on both ends of the court on the best
team. Both
ends,
yeah.
Like,
you can't say that about Harden.
Exactly. If you give it to Harden, I won't argue, but I'll feel for Giannis.
Yeah.
Because the only other thing that you could have done this season is have a wet jump shot, bro.
But
what else is you supposed to do?
And he's starting to shoot that three, though.
That's more than one game. Yeah, five games, Cam.
You're
not a shooter. Don't cap right now, Cam. You can't substantiate that claim, dog.
I'm just saying with Giannis, it's just like, Harden didn't get that MVP trophy that he should have got. Nobody really gets it the year they should get it. They always get it afterwards, right?
But Harden already has one.
Yeah, they're not gonna.
They gave Steve Nash back to back.
Shaq was in the league too. But wasn't Phoenix the best team in the NBA? And wasn't Phoenix the most exciting team in the NBA? And I know Kobe. If you took Steve Nash off that team, what would they be? Realistically. And it wasn't about the numbers, right? Because we knew Steve Nash could shoot, but he wasn't trying to score 30 a game or nothing like that. But if you took that engine off that was a mediocre roster at best without Steve Nash. Steve Nash is the reason why they can be the best team, why they were the most exciting team, and also the style of play with D'Antoni brought to the league.
You know Giannis' biggest problem? His damn name.
That's what I said.
Motherfuckers can't say that shit.
You just say Giannis.
Why do you think we can't say
it?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
They just gonna call him Giannis. Ken. His shoe gonna be called Giannis.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever they call it. Ken, you got Giannis' stats pulled up?
Yeah.
Okay. Watch this.
No, he's probably top five in every stat.
No. I guarantee you he shot less than 60 threes this season.
Oh, well, you want that.
3-point attempts.
Actually,
where is he at?
He's gonna say 61, 57 3-point attempts.
Double what I said. A little bit more than double what I said.
He took 140 last year. 39.
You already start laughing.
Oh shit, bro! That's less than one a game. All I'm saying is, when you look at all of the stats and everything that Giannis is able to do, that's the biggest glaring weakness. And what else can you ask this man to do to achieve the ultimate individual goal in the NBA? Is just shoot.
He should
better.
Be MVP.
He should be. And he then, should and be. And what's his field goal? His field goal percentage like down near 60%.
Yeah, down near 56%.
So what else? What else? The man passes. The man rebounds. The man blocks.
Yeah,
the man defends. 58%. The man defends all five positions. Literally. What else? A jumper? A jumper is what's gonna hold them back? Nah, man. I can't buy that.
Damn, St. Mary's beat Gonzaga.
Damn.
Wow. Really?
Did Gonzaga beat Duke?
Yeah,
60-47.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let the games
let
begin.
March Madness begin.
Yep. But no, I think.
Wow. My guy Colin Sexton in a commercial.
Oh, hey, he's starting to figure it out too. He had 28 and something.
Ken, look.
What?
I've busted your bubbles with a couple of these young NBA guys. He will be out the league in 5 to 6 years. Out the league. Out the league.
Who?
Colin Sexton.
You think so?
I think he's going to be out the league.
Why you think he's going to be out the league?
He's not going to be a star, but out the league?
Out the league.
Why you say that?
Come on, man. Nah.
Because he's...
You said Colin Sexton can't play?
I'm saying Colin, I don't think Colin Sexton is an NBA player. Damn. Now that I've watched him the whole year, I don't think he's an NBA player.
It looked that way early on.
Yes, and I've advocated for Colin.
But I don't.
And I definitely loved him in high school, the young bull. I get it. And even in Bama, when what was that game where they only had four players, they damn near won that game?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I look at Jimmer.
So let's do this pass. So
Adam Morrison, I could keep going. I don't think he's going to be in the league long.
So that first his contract lottery pick, what, 4 or 5 years? How long is the contract?
He was top 10. He was top 10, so it's a 4 year.
Yeah, it's 2+2.
Okay.
They pick up his option. Nobody's going to pay him.
So after the fourth year.
Yep.
So he's averaging 15-3-3
as a point guard.
Which isn't good, but
it is Cleveland,
and his teammates and people in Cleveland early on said he doesn't know how to play point guard, which wasn't good. Like they criticized his decision making, everything. They were teaching him how to play point guard because he never. I guess I don't know what happened to Alabama, but you would think playing under
He played under Avery Johnson.
Avery Johnson. Mm-hmm. You would at least know how to play point guard, but out the league, bro.
I'm just saying. What's his field goal percentage? I know it's low
40s. 41%.
Low 40s. 3-point percentage, low 30s. Maybe even in the 20s.
I can't fully disagree with you because I don't even see a
It's still early, though.
You know, I'm Mr. 3 to 5. I'm super optimistic. However, 3 assists?
Yeah.
That is, as a point guard? That's just not good. And to me, what does he do well? Because he came in being a defensive guy.
And that's the biggest
guy.
Thing. I don't know what he does well yet. See, I haven't seen anything.
He's too small to be like a legit defensive guy. Right? Because even Pat Bev, he's a smaller guy, but he got, you know, he got some arm.
It feels like Collins just out there on the court.
It does. It's like, what's your true impact? Now, can you go out here and, because I'll put it to you like this. You know what his best attribute is? He's arguably the most mentally tough young player in the league. I give him that. You're not going to punk him. He's not going to back down from nobody. Mm. But he don't have the skills to keep up. And I think ultimately that's what's going to hurt him. Because it's what do you do well? Because we've seen Shabazz Napier, you know, go through the league. And he's still collecting them checks.
Yeah.
We've seen Trey Burke. Right? Yeah. And he's fucking balling. What is Colin Sexton? I don't know. And until he shows me something,
he had 3 assists tonight.
He'll do that because here he's tough. He'll ball. If he plays against somebody that's good and they talking shit, it's gonna elevate him. He's one of those guys. He's sorry as hell, but as soon as you talk smack, he's gonna match you point for point. But that's only one out of. He'll do that once a month.
All right.
That's not good enough.
I'm not going to write the brother off yet.
Out the league.
Another year.
Out the league. 5 to 6 years. Out the league.
But yeah, Milwaukee, best team in the NFL. 51-7. NBA. Best team in the NBA. 51-7. He got to be the MVP, man.
I'm not saying I don't think he should. I'm just saying I'll be surprised.
Harden.
I'll be surprised if they're. Because right now I'm trying to look at who's going to be the next face in the NBA. And
they've been
right now. They've been trying to say it's him, but I feel like there's been some resistance because, like, you know how they like when it's about to be like the political season and stuff, they'll throw candidate's name out to see what just the feel is and stuff like that. I feel like they've been trying to throw his name out there for the longest because they have so much data to back it up.
Yeah,
it's nobody really gravitates. I mean, because maybe it's because his name, maybe because it's a small market, but we'll see. He earned it. He's definitely earned it.
Yeah. So we'll see. What else we got? Trading LeBron. Any takers?
They listening because I've been saying I was the first one to say that. I was like, look, if we gonna talk about this being a business, everybody on the table. And if you're talking about how much Anthony Davis could get just for him, how much do you think LeBron can get as far as a haul?
Oh,
He does he have a no trade clause?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he does.
Probably he has. To. He probably does. He probably has had one since his second contract. To be honest, but I'm just saying, like, I like the fact that Jeff Van Gundy was the he had the balls to say something that nobody else had to.
He always say crazy stuff like that. That's why Mark Jackson told him to shut up.
But is he wrong though to think that? Should we look into all possibilities?
Oh, he doesn't have a no trade clause.
Oh. Mm. So y'all know how I look at these at potential trades. I got to look at it from both sides. What do the Lakers want and what does LeBron want? LeBron wants to compete, right? So where would he get traded to that is an immediate competitor? Do you think he'll go to Toronto?
No.
Okay.
Too much tax.
You know where I know
they
would
want tonight.
You know where I know he would want to play, but obviously they can't give up enough to the Lakers.
Philly?
Nah. San Antonio. He wants to play for Pop. Pop will stay for LeBron.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, they have to cut the whole team. They barely got it.
Would you trade up DeMar DeRozan straight up?
Nah. You don't need more than that.
Oh, they came back from 20 too.
I would say they'll ask for LA and DeRozan.
If I'm LeBron, I'm like, you can't give up LA. Who am I going
to
play with?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you would have to gut the team.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's move on. What other team is in championship now mode? Obviously, Golden State, but
they don't need them, so, like, why would I give up anything?
Nah. But you might be able to. Well, yeah, because KD a free agent, Anthony. Yeah.
Come on, man. Y'all stop playing.
I'm just saying.
Let's slightly entertain it.
Y'all have fun.
I guess Denver has a lot to give back to.
I was going to say Boston.
Yeah.
Y'all can't be right now.
But here's the thing.
That's a great coach, great players.
True. And he gets Kyrie back. However, I don't see the Lakers ever making a trade with Boston just because.
For LeBron though?
It's not.
That's an all-timer. He's on the is he on the Mount Rushmore?
Of course.
This is not.
Of course.
That's not. I can't believe people with no. It's not going to happen.
Why can't it happen?
Lakers not going to trade him?
Yeah, I don't see it.
Magic is not going to let that guy go, man. Nah.
Magic might be fired next year. He might not have a choice.
Genie was not going to let go of LeBron.
Do you know what type of bad PR that is?
Yeah.
Genie don't know how to let go of anything. She can't let go of Luke.
Oh, Luke's gone.
Yeah.
Blink is the one. Because apparently nobody's taking any of their calls. The league hates these guys, so.
Of course.
If you dangle LeBron, they'll take your car, though.
Of course.
No, they won't.
You can.
LeBron and his.
Ken. I'm not doing this.
LeBron and his watch years is averaging 25 yep. plus.
Y'all not doing
8
this.
Plus. Not up.
Everybody's
eight plus.
Listening to LeBron offer.
But the Suns beat the Warriors.
You'll
turn
LeBron? Hell yeah.
He said, well, the Suns beat the Warriors.
The Suns beat the Warriors, so I guess that Lakers bad. Loss ain't that bad. Tried to tell y'all. They don't beat
the Warriors are bored out of their minds.
I'm just saying, the Suns beat the Lakers. Everybody flipped out. They don't turn around and beat the best team in the NBA and the best and the defending champs.
Are the Warriors not winning the championship?
I just wanted to put that out.
They win in the championship.
So then what are we talking about?
They're already
not winning the championship.
They're creating this drama.
I'm off the bat.
The Warriors number creating all this drama. The whole KD
said we need to play championship basketball.
Drama. It's all drama they all making up to make their season more difficult.
They don't make up drama, B. They have good times.
They making up. I'm just saying, they making up the drama.
Who's making up the drama?
The Kevin Durant and Draymond Green when they was cussing. The so-called cussing. That wasn't real. That was all made up. That's my conspiracy theory. That was all made up just so when the Warriors win a championship, they're going to say, oh, this is a tough.
It wasn't that easy.
They had so much turmoil. Stephen Kerr saying, Draymond getting on my fucking nerve. What they lip singing? All this
can't
stuff.
Can't take Draymond's shit
or
something.
Yeah, all this is made up crap. Just to make this season for the Warriors, this is drama.
The starting five with DeMarcus Cousins is in the bottom five defensively. They lost.
Not in a seven-game series.
They lost to the Suns.
Not in a seven-game series.
They lost to the Suns.
Let me ask you this.
Made up drama to make sure you be like, oh, this is tough for them.
Was this a back-to-back game for Golden State?
I don't know.
Kim, bet money. I guarantee you Golden State is going to sweep all the way to the finals.
Because remember, I don't want to say that.
I bet money on that.
But I say this, though. Remember how easy it was looking at the beginning of the season? Remember how Golden State was just whooping everybody? Then all of a sudden, Ken, we had this drama with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green in the midst of all this winning that they was doing.
But there was drama there.
Made up drama.
I don't think that was made up.
Staged. Steph to make the season
said,
difficult.
He said, if y'all think this drama, you should have, if you would have heard what happened last year and we won.
Right.
Like, to me, right now, they should be going 5 for 5 right now. And I think that's what their what their mindset is right now. Like, we should have had 5 of these.
They was like, let's try to make this.
Let's just get 4.
All right, so maybe they are bored. Maybe they are bored.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe they are bored, but yeah, I don't know.
They're just ready for playoffs, man.
They're just trying to three-peat. They're going to go down as one of the greatest teams of all time, if not the greatest. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm not off. I said I was off the bandwagon. I was just joking. But I am. They are on watch.
No, because
y'all always dismiss me, man, when I'm saying this stuff.
I don't know who said it, but I saw this. They, I don't know if it was Bassard, Skip, one of these outlandish personalities at times, was saying that the champion is going to come out of the East. That it doesn't matter who comes out the West, the East is going to win it. Now, here's the thing. I think that the East is going to pose a bigger problem than any team in the West. I think that the East, whoever makes it out the East, is going to push Golden State harder than any team can in the West.
Toronto, Milwaukee.
All of them. The top four in the East can
Boston,
push.
More than Houston?
Yeah, more than Houston. They have more than Houston.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And James Harden is great as he is playing, in the regular season.
You can't do that in the playoffs.
We haven't seen it. Not even 1 year. So I don't buy stock of James Harden.
His OKC days, too.
And not even in those days.
He's not going to play the way he's playing all season.
Exactly. I don't buy James Harden playoff stock.
Nope,
so
I
sell all of that. Who else you got? OKC? Nope. Russ and Paul George is not enough. Denver hasn't been there. Nope. I think they have the talent. They just haven't been there. They haven't experienced it yet.
All right.
So who else?
Nobody.
I put it to you like this. I think that their toughest matchup in the West, if the playoffs started today, would be in their first round against Utah. I think Utah will push them.
I love Utah too.
I think Utah will push them harder than any other team that they're going to face in the West.
I agree.
B, you're absolutely right.
What? I'm right about what?
Andre Ingram came to save the day for the Lakers.
Oh.
As soon as he joined the roster, they snapped their 5-game
losing streak.
How old is this guy?
33 now.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Keeping the dream alive. Yep. It was like, you know what? If Lonzo can't save us, damn it, he will.
Mm-hmm. And he came.
Somebody just need to sign this man. Get this man a 2-year deal, man.
Might as well. He bought.
I don't know why
they always bought him season tickets. Or something.
They got that Caruso guy running out
right,
there.
Right.
Let that guy
play, man.
I think that guy balling and everything.
Right.
But all right, man. We're gonna leave it right there, man. Andre Ingram to the rescue for the Lakers. A lot more to come in sports, man. With the free agency, we got Le'Veon Bell as a sign. NBA, I think we're bored.
NCAA selections coming up this weekend.
March Madness about to kick off, and baseball.
Training camp. Damn.
Training camp is their crazy game. So. But yeah, we appreciate you guys watching. As usual, we'll catch you guys next time. We out.
Peace.